I'm glad you're here for Wednesday night Bible study. And Wednesday night's an opportunity for me to teach some things sometimes that definitely are not easily digested milk. It gets a little bit meaty sometimes, but that's good. And we're going to talk about water baptism again. Water baptism. And we've been studying this thing out, and we've seen some interesting things. We saw that water baptism before Paul, and we looked at Peter, the Apostle Peter. And Peter, you remember, was asked by a group of Jews. The Jews said there on the day of Pentecost, "Well, what shall we do? What shall we do?" Peter said, "Well, here's what you need to do." He said, "You need to repent, be baptized in water in order to receive the remission of sins and then the gift of the Holy Ghost." Well, you fast forward now to Acts 16. The Apostle Paul is asked a similar question. Somebody comes to Paul and says, "What must I do to be saved?" Paul says, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved." Well, now, obviously, those are two different answers. Okay, you can't take those two answers and make them one and the same. They're not the same. If you've got a fourth grade education, you know that those aren't the same answers. Water baptism was an essential part of the Apostle Peter's message to Israel. Yet Paul said in 1 Corinthians 1:17, he said, "I can preach my gospel without it." He said, "Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel." So Paul said, "I can preach the gospel of Christ without water baptism." Well, the same Christ that gave Peter the gospel, the good news of the circumcision, Israel, was the same Christ that appeared to Paul from heaven several years later and gave to Paul from heaven the gospel of the uncircumcision, Galatians 2, 7 and 8. So we learned last week that the Apostle Paul, I'll kind of review a little bit here. Was the Apostle Paul one of the 12 apostles, yes or no? Was he ever meant to be? No, he was not one of the 12. He was distinct and separate. Did Paul have a different position than the 12? Absolutely, he had a different office, different position. Did Paul have a different commission than the 12? Yes, he did. We saw that last week. He received a commission by direct revelation of Jesus Christ from heaven. And we saw that he had a different position than the 12. Paul had a different commission than the 12. And did Paul have a different gospel than the 12? Yes. He had the gospel of the uncircumcision. And Peter and the 12 were preaching the gospel of the kingdom to the nation of Israel. Paul received the gospel that he preached from direct revelation. To Paul was revealed the mystery of the body of Christ and the dispensation of grace that we live in today. Now the question is this: do we see water baptism associated at all with Paul's distinct message and ministry? I mean, we know it was a vital part of Peter's. We know it was a vital part of John the Baptist. We know it was a vital part of Jesus' earthly ministry. We saw that in the 12. We know that it was a very, very important part of the 12's ministry after the resurrection to Israel there in the early part of the book of Acts. So we know that, but the question is this. Okay, Paul, distinct apostle, different message, different commission, different position. What role did water baptism play in Paul's ministry? Well, what we're going to do is we're going to do a biblical overview of Paul's ministry, and we're going to get answers to those questions. And I want to go all the way back to Acts chapter 9. So go ahead and turn there. Acts chapter 9 is when Paul gets saved. And the road to Damascus. And so I want to go back to Acts chapter 9 and start at the very beginning of Paul's life. And I want us to do a thorough Bible overview of water baptism as it relates to Paul's ministry. Since he is the apostle of the Gentiles, to him was revealed the dispensation of grace that we live in. He is the one that wrote directly to the Gentile body of Christ. So what about this thing? Well, in Acts chapter 9, what happens here is Jesus appears to Paul on the road to Damascus. And what does Paul do? He believes. And Christ said to Paul, "I want you to," remember he struck blind? go into Damascus and wait for further instruction. Look at Acts chapter 9 and verse 6. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord. There's that faith right there. He acknowledges that Christ is Lord. And he says, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. So, you know, get into the city. So once he's in Damascus, Paul is ministered to by a man by the name of Ananias. And what happens, look at Acts 9, 17. Look what happens here. Paul goes into the city. He's sitting there. He's blind from this experience he had on the road to Damascus. Look what happens, verse 17. And Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord even Jesus that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest hath sent me, that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith, and arose and was what? And was baptized. Now, go over to Acts 22, and we're going to see the exact words. Over here, it's not recorded in Acts 9, but over in Acts 22, we're going to see the exact words that Ananias says to Paul that day. Paul actually is giving his testimony in Acts 22 before the Jewish multitude there in Jerusalem, and he's giving his testimony. He's going back and recounting the road to Damascus and what happened after that. And so notice in Acts 22:16, it says, Ananias said to him, verse 16, and now why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized, and what? Wash away thy sins. But what's he going to do? Calling on the name of the Lord. Now that's interesting. You say, what's that all about? Well, look in your handout. It says, up to this point in the book of Acts, remember, it's Acts 9, really, because Acts 22, he's just giving you commentary back on what happened in Acts 9. So here in Acts 9, up to this point, it says in your handout, only the kingdom program that Peter preached had been revealed up to that point. That's all that had been revealed. And we know that baptism was an essential part of that program for the nation of Israel, and Ananias knew it. Ananias knew the program. He knew the kingdom program. He knew what the message had been on the day of Pentecost. He knew it. And so he said, you need to get up. You need to get in that water, he said, and you need to get baptized and call on the name of the Lord, and you need to prepare yourself for that washing of sins, that remitting of sins that Peter had preached on the day of Pentecost. And so in your handout it says, as a Jewish believer, Paul was baptized as any other Jewish believer would have been at that time. So Paul is baptized just like any other Jewish believer would have been at that time. Now, here's what I want you to see. If you look at John the Baptist, for instance, let's see, keep your bookmarker here and go over to Mark 1, and I'll show you something here. Under this kingdom program, baptism and repentance of sins and belief on Christ as the Messiah, all of these were like a simultaneous event. It all happened at one time under the kingdom program. And it all kind of happened. Look at Mark 1. I'll show it to you again here. This is kind of another example. Mark 1 and verse 4. John did baptize in the wilderness and preach the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. John did baptize in the wilderness and let's see, verse 4, I already read that. Okay, verse 5. And there went out unto him all the land of Judea, and they of Jerusalem, and were all baptized of him in the river of Jordan. Simultaneous with their baptism, according to the end of verse 5, what were they all doing? See how under the program of Israel it was all kind of a simultaneous event? Under the kingdom program, what would happen is they would exercise their belief either in the coming Messiah or in Christ, who they realize now had already come. So whether it's before the book of Acts, before the death, burial, and resurrection, or after, under the kingdom program, it was all kind of one event. They would be baptized, confess their sins, call on the name of the Lord. You know, this was all kind of like one event that they would do. And of course, we know that that's not the case today. We know that that's not at all the program today. And we've seen that, and we've studied that out, and we've seen that's not what God's doing today, but that was the kingdom program for the nation of Israel. This is what they did. Baptism was an essential part, because baptism, confession of sins, repentance, belief on Christ, all that was like happened at one time. And it was all part of an event. Okay? Now, all of this is being done to what? Well, it's to prepare them for their coming king, to prepare them for that kingdom that Christ was going to bring to the nation of Israel. So now we know why Paul was baptized. We see why. He was just like any other Jew under the kingdom program. Okay, that's all that was revealed up to that time. And we know why Acts 22:16 is worded the way it is. We know that it was all kind of one event, just like on the day of Pentecost, same thing. He said that they needed to repent, be baptized for the remission of sins. It was all one event. Well, we see that in Paul's life. But now, let's move forward. And let's go to Paul's first missionary journey. And Paul, if you go over to, let me take you over to Acts 13. Let's go there. Acts chapter 13. You were already in the book of Acts, so just go back to Acts 13. Now, verses 1, 2, 3, and 4, Paul is sent out of the church at Antioch, his home church. And he launches out on his first missionary journey with Barnabas. Now, I want you to understand something. Now, stay with me. Paul didn't get saved and start his first missionary journey the next day. All right? According to the book of Galatians chapter 1, there was a period of several years after Paul got saved. There was a period of many, many years in there where Christ appeared to Paul from heaven, revealed to Paul the gospel of grace that he was to go out and preach to the heathen, the Gentiles. So there's a lot of time that's lapsed between Acts 9, where he got saved. Now we're over here at Acts 13. Paul's received a lot of revelation from Acts 9 to Acts 13 before he launches out on his first journey. Okay? So I want you to understand that. I want you to get that. Now, we go forward here now to Acts 13. And Acts 13, if you just kind of flip through there, you'll kind of see Acts 13:3, he launches out. They end up here going through verse 6, through the isle unto Paphos. And then they go down here, they go, verse 14, they departed from Perga, they came to Antioch in Pisidia, different Antioch than Paul's home church. And then if you go over to chapter 14, they go to Iconium, they go to Lystra, Derbe, all these different places in the regions of Galatia. This is the Galatian region, okay? Now during this journey, it's interesting, in your handout, go back to your handout. During Paul's first missionary journey throughout the regions of Galatia, it's interesting that water baptism's never mentioned one time. It's interesting to me. Here's a guy launching out on his first missionary journey to take the gospel to the Gentiles, and it's never mentioned one time. In fact, go to Acts 13. Here we have Paul's first recorded sermon. Okay? And that's probably a better way to word that. I don't know if it's even in your handout there. No, it's not. But it's Paul's first recorded sermon in the Scripture. Acts 13, beginning at verse 14 and going through verse 39. This is Paul's first sermon that's recorded. Now, it's interesting. Look how he ends his message in verse 38. Acts 13:38. Be it known unto you therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you, talking about Christ, through this man, Christ, is preached unto you the what? Forgiveness of sins. And by him all that believe are justified from what? Woo, amen, glory. That's exciting right there. Justified from some things? All things. Oh, I like that. Now look at the rest of the verse. From which he could not be justified by the law of Moses. Would you say Paul was preaching justification by faith alone? And it's funny, there is absolutely no mention of baptism at all. In your handout, it says many people trusted Christ during this first missionary journey, but there is no record of any baptisms at all. Go over to Acts 14. Acts 14, verse 21. And notice how it says here, Acts 14, 21, and when they had preached the gospel to that city and had taught many, they returned again to Lystra and to Iconium and Antioch, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. And when they had ordained them elders in every church and had prayed with fasting, they commanded them to the Lord on whom they believed. Note that he didn't say they're going to go through the tribulation, okay? He was just saying, look, there's going to be persecution. Paul had just been stoned and left for dead. He said, look, guys, it came to me, it can come to you. You better be ready. But it's interesting that Paul preaches here. Paul preaches the gospel. He teaches many. He confirms the souls of the disciples, does all these things, but there's no mention of baptism at all. So Paul goes back to his home church, Antioch, at the end of the journey, and look at verse 27. Acts 14, 27. And when they were come and had gathered the church together, they rehearsed all that God had done with them and how he had opened the door of what? Faith unto the Gentiles. So they come back and they rejoice in all these Gentiles that had trusted Christ as their Savior. So, what do we have? Well, we got first missionary journey. He travels all throughout Galatia. The Bible records his preaching. The Bible records a whole message he preached. The Bible records all these converts that got saved. But there is no mention of water baptism whatsoever. Now, that's definitely a different thing, okay? I mean, when Israel got saved, that's mentioned, you know, and the number was mentioned in Acts 2. When the northern part of Israel, when they got saved, it mentions that they were baptized. You know, but now all these folks get saved, there's no mention. Well, let's go to Acts 15. And now, look what happens in verse 1. It says, and certain men which came down from Judea taught the brethren and said, except you be circumcised after the manner of Moses, ye cannot be what? Saved. You know what happened? Some of the Jewish believers came trotting down here to Antioch, and they started causing up a stir among the Gentile converts. They said, hey, unless you get circumcised, unless you submit to the law of Moses, you can't be really saved. Well, wait a minute, but we put our faith in Jesus Christ. That's all Paul said we needed to do, just trust Him. And they said, we don't care what Paul said. We're from Jerusalem. And we don't care what he said. You've got to keep the law of Moses. You've got to do these Jewish things if you want to be saved. Well, it ends up turning into a showdown at Jerusalem. And Acts 15 records the showdown. All right? And the conclusion was, and I'll just save a lot of time by telling you the conclusion rather than reading all this, because we've studied this thing out in depth. So when I preached through the life of Paul, we went through this in depth. When we went through Galatians, we went through it in depth. So I'm not going to go through Acts 15 in depth tonight. We've done it before. But I will give you the conclusion. What they concluded here is that, hey, guess what? Gentiles don't have to do these things. The Gentiles do not have to have the yoke of the law on their necks. And they don't have to keep the law. They don't have to be circumcised. They don't have to do these things. That was the conclusion of the matter in Acts chapter 15. Paul's ministry and message to the Gentiles was vindicated in a big way at the Jerusalem Council. He was vindicated and he was proven true. Well, but there was one command that came out of this meeting. Go over to Acts 15:19, and I do want you to see this. There was one request and a kind of a command, really, but a strong request, I guess we could say, that came out of this showdown. Look with me at Acts 15:19. James, who's kind of the head of the church at Jerusalem, he said, wherefore my sentence is that we trouble not them which from among the Gentiles are turned to God. In other words, we're not going to trouble them with the law of Moses. We're not going to put that on them. Verse 20. But that we write unto them, to the Gentile churches. Now here's some requests. That they abstain from pollutions of idols, and from fornication, and from things strangled, and from blood, from eating blood. Okay? For Moses of old time hath in every city them that preach him, being read in the synagogues every Sabbath day. So, what was the request? Here it is in your handout. You ready? The Gentile believers needed to be sensitive to the Jewish believers and not knowingly offend them. Those things they just listed in that verse would knowingly offend a Jew. So the Gentiles were not to flaunt their liberty in Christ, in the Jews' face. They weren't to do these things that would be a great offense to the Jewish people. They were to be sensitive to the Jewish believers. Are y'all with me tonight? Okay? So they're to be sensitive to that, and they are not to just go out there, flaunt their liberty, and do these things that would be a great offense to the Jewish believers. Now, this meeting apparently had a great impact on Paul. Because you know what we see in Paul's second missionary journey? We see some behavior in Paul. We see some things in Paul on the second missionary journey we didn't see in the first journey. So this meeting, obviously Paul took it very seriously. The Apostle Paul had a great burden in his heart to reach Jews. And this meeting, Paul wanted to be very sensitive to the Jewish believers. And so we see Paul doing some things on the second journey he didn't do on the first journey. In your handout it says, immediately we see Paul exercising a greater sensitivity to the Jews. He takes Timothy and has him circumcised. Go with me to Acts chapter number 16. Acts 16, and look with me at verse 3. He's speaking here of Timothy, who's, it tells you in verse 1, his mom was a Jew, his father was a Greek, so he was half Jewish. Verse 3, him would Paul have to go forth with him, and took and circumcised him. Why did Paul do it according to that verse? Because of the Jews which were in those quarters, for they knew all that his father was a Greek. So, why did Paul know that circumcision availeth nothing in Christ? You think he knew that? Of course he knew that. He wrote the Galatian church in Galatians 5, 6 and told them that circumcision availeth nothing. So, question. Did Paul think that this was doing anything spiritually for Timothy? Yes or no? Didn't do anything for Timothy. Okay? But why did Paul do it then? Can anybody tell me why did he do that? Because of sensitivity to the who?
Jews.
To the Jews. He didn't want to knowingly offend them. I'll give you another shocker. Go over to Acts 18. Acts chapter 18. Look at verse 18. It says, and Paul, and this is still the second missionary journey, and Paul after this tarried there yet a good while, and then took his leave of the brethren and sailed thence into Syria, and with him Priscilla and Aquila. Now look at this one. Having shorn his head in Cenchrea, for he had a vow. And he came to Ephesus and left them there, but he himself entered into the synagogue and reasoned with the Jews. When they desired him to tarry longer with time with them, he consented not, but bade them farewell, saying, I must by all means keep this feast that cometh in Jerusalem, but I will return again unto you if God will. And he sailed from Ephesus. In your handout, it says we see Paul shaving his head due to a Jewish vow he had taken. Now, here we go. Why would Paul take an Old Testament Jewish vow and go to Jerusalem for a feast day? An Old Testament feast day. Did Paul know that they weren't under the Old Testament law? Yes or no? Yet, then why did he do it? Sensitivity to the Jews. What did he say in 1 Corinthians when we studied it? Remember? He said, unto the Jews I became as a Jew. Why? That I might save some. He wanted to win them to Christ. So you see Paul now, after the Jerusalem Council, doing some things that he didn't do at first when he took off in the Galatian Gentile region. We see Paul exercising a great sensitivity towards the Jewish people. In your handout it says, we also see Paul baptizing converts for the first time on this journey. Go back to Acts 16, I'll show it to you. Acts 16, Paul takes off on his third missionary journey after the Jerusalem Council. And look at Acts 16. Can I explain something real quick to you before we read? During the book of Acts, now get this, during the book of Acts, Paul's ministry involved taking the gospel of grace to the Jews first. Okay? Remember Romans 1:16? He said, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." During the Acts time period, okay, what you have going on, and I know this may sail over some heads and I understand, but some of you are going to catch this. During the Acts time period, you have two things going on. Number one, you have a provoking ministry to Israel going on, where Paul is seeking to provoke his people Israel to jealousy, okay, by going to the Gentiles. He's provoking them to jealousy in hopes that that will provoke them to come to Christ. All right? So during the book of Acts, you have this provoking ministry going on to Israel. And that's why he goes to the Jew first. See, because during the Acts time period, that Jew was still there, and that hope was still there for them. And so he goes to the Jew first, and then when they would refuse, boom, then he would go to the Gentiles. Now, after the book of Acts, that's not true. Okay, but during the book of Acts, that's kind of like a transitional time period where Paul is provoking Israel, and at the same time, God is bringing the Gentiles into the body of Christ. So there's a couple things going on here. Now, Paul, as his habit was, would always go to the Jew first. So when he came to Philippi, there's no synagogue there. Well, typically what would happen during those days, if there was no Jewish synagogue in a city, they would kind of designate an area down by the river where the Jewish believers, Jewish proselytes, those in Judaism, could go down by the river on the Sabbath and they would pray. So, you know, to me, it's kind of obvious. If you look at Acts 16, it says there, verse 13, "And on the Sabbath, we went out of the city by a riverside." Well, why would they do that? Well, there was a meeting going on there where prayer was wont to be made. There was a prayer meeting going on the Sabbath day down by the river. So these are Jews. These are Jews and Jewish proselytes. "And we sat down and spake unto the women which resorted thither. And a certain woman named Lydia, seller of purple, of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. And when she was what? Baptized. And her household." So her and her whole household, they believed Paul's message, and they were baptized. This is the first recorded instance here where Paul does this. Go over to Acts 16, verse 30. Philippian jailer, Philippi, we're still at Philippi. He brought him out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house." In other words, if you'll put your faith in Christ, you can be saved. If anybody in your house will put their faith in Christ, they can be saved. This is good for you or anybody in your house. Verse 32, "And they spake unto him the word of the Lord and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes and was what? Baptized, he and all his straightway." Second instance where somebody gets saved, then they're baptized. Go over to Acts 18. Acts chapter 18. We're still on that second missionary journey. Acts 18, Paul goes to Corinth. He wrote the Corinthians, remember? Well, this is where he's at, Corinth. And notice with me verse number 8. "And Crispus," by the way, the church at Corinth, as you know from Sunday night, was birthed, this church was birthed right next to the synagogue, Jewish synagogue. There was a wall in between this church and the Jewish synagogue. Because Paul started in the synagogue to the Jew first. They blasphemed, opposed him. So Paul goes right next door to the other side of the wall to this guy's house, starts a church. Pretty slick, huh? And so he starts a church here. And so the church at Corinth was a mixture of Jewish and Gentile believers. Now look at verse 8. And Crispus, boy, this must have made the Jews mad, the chief ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all his house, and many of the Corinthians hearing believed, and were what? Baptized. Now, I want to point out a couple of things here, okay, in your handout. Well, let me just ask you, in all the passages that we read, do we ever see Paul preaching baptism like Peter did, yes or no? No, we never see him preaching it in any of his messages. We never see him commanding it like Peter did. We never see it, you know, the focal point like we did with Peter and this you know, thing that is commanded and that has to happen. We do see it mentioned, okay? We see it right here as we don't see it as part of Paul's gospel. We do not see it mentioned in any of Paul's messages. We don't see Paul requiring it. But here it says in your handout, we do see it practiced and mentioned three times on the second missionary journey. Some places it's never mentioned on the second journey. You saw in these three places, it's mentioned. So three times water baptism is mentioned. Okay? Did Paul preach that you need to be circumcised, yes or no? Never preached that. But we see him doing it with Timothy, right? Did Paul preach that you need to take an Old Testament Nazarite vow? No, he never preached that. But did he do it? Well, yeah, he did it, and we know why he did it, okay? We know why. And we know why none of those things are mentioned on the first journey. But all those things are mentioned on the second journey. And remember, church, I know you remember. First journey, second journey, what was in between those two journeys? I know you remember. We just talked about it 20 minutes ago. All right, what was it in between the Jerusalem Council? That's right. And at the Jerusalem Council, what did the Jewish believers ask Paul and his cohorts and Gentiles to do? They said, you need to be what? Sensitive. To the Jewish believers. And so we see Paul now going out here on the second journey doing some things that we didn't see on the first journey. And in your handout it says the Jerusalem Council made an impact on Paul, and he was passionate about wanting to reach his own Jewish people with the gospel. And can y'all do me a favor in your handout? Second time I've done this, I must have a brain freeze. The first time I caught it when I proofed it. This was a couple weeks ago. This time I didn't catch it. Everybody change that last reference to, instead of Acts 10:1, that should be Romans 10:1. Remember, Kathy, I did that 2 weeks ago. And I just, I wasn't thinking. And I put Acts 10:1. It should be Romans 10:1. You know what he says in Romans 10:1? Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. Paul had a burning passion to see Israel saved. So we see him going out on this second journey, exercising much greater sensitivity to the Jewish people. We see water baptism mentioned three times. We see circumcision mentioned. We see this Nazarite vow being taken. We see a lot of these things on the second journey we didn't see on the first journey. Now, next time, what we're going to look at is we're going to look, listen to this, Paul's third missionary journey. We're going to look at how did water baptism relate to his third missionary journey, and how did it relate to the letters that he wrote during the Acts time period? Y'all understand? Paul wrote 13 epistles. Many of those were written during the Acts time period. So what do you have to say about water baptism in those epistles? Some of Paul's letters were written after Acts 28, after the Acts time period. What did Paul have to say about water baptism in those letters? So So we're going to look at that next time we get together, okay? So we'll finish this up, water baptism after Paul. We're going to finish this up, and I promise you at the end of this series, we will boil it all down, okay? And we're going to take all the information we've received, and we're going to bring together some conclusions, some biblical conclusions that we come to as a result of our study. So stay with me, because we're coming very close to the end of this, where we're going to draw the conclusions from Scripture that are there, okay, and that the Bible gives us. We're not going to draw conclusions based on our presumption, based on our presuppositions, based on our particular leanings, or we're going to let the Bible speak for itself. Amen? And that's what we want to do. We want to be a church that preaches and teaches the Bible. And we want to look at what the Bible says. So at the end, I promise you, we're going to pull it all together. Because some of you, I know, you're taking all the information. Okay, we looked at Christ's baptism. We looked at baptism before Paul. We looked at baptism after Paul. We looked at Holy Spirit baptism. And some of you are scratching your heads thinking, all right, well, where's he going to land on this thing? You know? So I like to keep you in suspense, keep you coming back, you know, each week. I'm just kidding. So anyway, at the end, we will land, all right? We're going to land, and we'll come and bring some conclusions at the end of this, okay? So, but that's where I want to stop for tonight. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you, Lord, for your word. And God, I pray tonight that we will assimilate